Do you have confidence that this government will, as they write the Constitution, will not be a mirror image of the Iranian theocracy?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
The Shiites have been pretty smart about that. And if you look at the Iranian, Iran's a whole different kettle of fish. But it's a sad story that really began in the 1950s when the United States deposed Mr. Mossadegh, who was an elected parliamentary Democrat, and brought the Shah back in.
CIA.
And then he was overturned by the Ayatollah Khomeini, driving us into the arms of one Saddam Hussein. And most of the terrible things Saddam Hussein did in the 1980s, he did with the full knowing support of the United States government, because he was in Iran, and Iran was what it was because we got rid of their parliamentary democracy back in the 50s. At least that's my belief. I know it's not popular for an American ever to say anything like this, but I think it's true. And I apologize. When President Khatami was elected, I publicly acknowledged that the United States had actively overthrown Mossadegh, and I apologize for it. And I hope that we could have some rapprochement with Iran. I think basically the Europeans' initiative to Iran to try to figure out a way to defuse the nuclear crisis is a good one. I think the President Bush has done so far the right thing by not taking a military option off the table but not pushing it too much. I didn't like the story that looked like the military option had been elevated above a diplomatic option. But Iran is the most perplexing problem in a way we face today for the following reasons. It's the only country in the world with two governments, and the only country in the world that has now had six elections since the first election of President Khatami. The only one with elections, including the United States, including Israel, including you name it. It is the only country where the liberals or the progressives have won 2/3 to 70% of the vote in six elections. Two for president, two for the parliament, the modules, two for the mayoralities. In every single election, the guys I identify with got 2/3 to 70% of the vote. There is no other country in the world I can say it about, certainly not my own.
But those are the guys that are in power, and is a power held by another party.
Okay, but here's the problem. Under their constitution, the religious council, headed by the Ayatollah Khamenei, has the authority over intelligence funding, terrorism funding, and has the power to invalidate laws and scratch candidates from the candidate list. So the people that represent the 30% to a third, can negate much of what this 2/3 to 70% want. And the president is in the middle getting whipsawed, and the people underneath him supporting him get more and more disillusioned. Now, they still kind of like the West in general, and America in particular, because we don't represent what they don't like about the governing of Iran since Ayatollah Khomeini. What no one can answer is, number one, how would those 2/3 react if some military action were taken? It depends on what it is. But, I mean, there may not be. Everybody talks about what the Israelis did at Osirak in 1981, which I think in retrospect was a really good thing. You know, it kept Saddam from developing nuclear power. But they had that available. It's not clear to me that that option is available in Iran. And it's not clear to me that if we did a lot more than that and a lot of civilians got killed, that you wouldn't lose the 2/3 you've got. And it's also, you're not fooling with Iraq. You know, one of the they can say whatever they want. I mean, one of the reasons that we did this is that this guy didn't have the capacity to hurt its neighbors and the United States. Iran is more than 3 times as big. They have a very sophisticated network. I will never forget, as long as I live, September the 11th, I was in Australia, and two people who worked for me in the White House called me from Lower Manhattan and talked me through the second plane hitting the second tower. I'll never forget it. And I said, you know, Bin Laden did this. Minutes plane hit the tower. And they said, how do you know? I said, because only Bin Laden and the Iranians could have done it, and the Iranians didn't do it. because they have a country, they have targets. We'd have to level Tehran if they did this. Bin Laden lives in a cave in Afghanistan. But they're not without means, in other words. They're very smart, they're very well funded. They funded my old friend Turkey Faisal's out there. We went through all the hell we went through after Khobar Tower in Saudi Arabia and all the 19 United States airmen that were killed. So this is something, I still hope there's a diplomatic solution. It is madness. There is an elected government in Iran supported by two-thirds of the people that wants a rapprochement with the West.
Okay, but let me ask a couple of questions. One,
and we can't get there. It's crazy.
And if the Iranians indicate that they might want to do it, what should the United States say?
Well, the question is, what? First of all, I think we ought to not do it until we have exhausted all reasonable diplomatic efforts. Keep in mind, again, this is heresy. The reason you should not want Iran to have an active nuclear program is not that they might not have a bomb. India has bombs. Pakistan has bombs.
Israel has bombs.
Yeah, but so what happens? Well, you know what my number one worry between India and Pakistan was? In the beginning, when they started these bomb building programs, we knew more about their programs and their doctrines than they knew about each other. Plus, the Pakistanis were, a lot of the people in their military and intelligence service were tight with the Taliban, and I was worried about the security of the materials. So, but deterrence still works just like it did between us and the Soviet Union. So if Iran had a nuclear weapon, the main thing it would do is cast a pall over the Middle East. But they'd have to take a long time before they used it, because they'd be toast if they used it. So what is the real worry? What is the real worry? If you've ever seen these facilities, the real worry is same worry we have with Pakistan. What if the people representing the third in Iran that have the religious council decide that fissile material should be smuggled out of Iran and given to a terrorist group? If you have we now know this, you can get on the internet and see this, but if you have basically a cookie's worth of fissile material, and you put it into a traditional bomb, you can amplify the destructive power by hundredfold or more. So the reason you don't want Iran to have an active nuclear program is, given the present state of play, you will never know whether the materials are secure or being transported to terrorist networks.
Okay, but the question is, and it comes to the Oval Office and it comes to other places, if they're about to have it, and they say that by 2005, at the end of 2005, it may be too late. What do you do if negotiations haven't worked? I mean, what's the hard call for a president of the United States?
In 1981, you mentioned Israel. In 1981, Israel bombed a nuclear reactor that was ostensibly set up to generate power at a place called Osirak in Iraq. They took it out, and it served the desired purpose. It delayed Saddam Hussein's ability to develop nuclear power for a considerable number of years. Now keep in mind, I hadn't seen any intelligence in 4 years now. Some people think I didn't see him before then. I don't know. But
what kind of intelligence are they talking about?
Or they thought I didn't have the intelligence to understand the intelligence. But anyway, that was then, this is now. I don't know that there is a target in Iran which could be taken out with one or two bombs with almost no civilian casualties, right? Nobody's saying no effect. I don't know if that option is available now. It may be. I'm not saying it is. I just don't know.
But everybody says it's much more difficult.
It's much more difficult. They are a much more formidable foe, and I'm not entirely convinced that what our British and German and French and other friends are trying to do won't work. And, you know, there ought to be some sort of mega deal there that, the religious council in Iran is not entirely shut down a democracy. They haven't totally invalidated everything they tried to do. I think there's still a lot of internal back and forth going on there. And I personally believe that we ought to give some final vigorous push to diplomacy to try to deal with this.
What's the carrot and the stick, though? If you talk about diplomacy, what do you give them? You say there'll be no economic sanctions, there'll be no kinds of sanctions of any kind. We'll make you, give you an opportunity to participate. We'll encourage you to participate in global trade. We'll do...
Yeah, all of the above. And that... And there are lots of other details. I mean, the British, the French, and Germans, they had a whole deal worked out there. And then the Iranians didn't stay with it, and they wanted to go back, and we're kind of, you know, back and forth. But a lot of this involves how you define national greatness.
What do you mean?
Well, I think every country's image of itself is rather like a person's image of himself or herself. It's the product of the accumulated dreams and nightmares of your family. Think about it. I remember I had a screaming match with Boris Yeltsin one time when he was telling me I couldn't expand NATO. And finally I grabbed him and I said, Boris, look at me. All the time we spent together, you really think that I would send American jets to an airport in Warsaw and use that base to bomb Russia? I said, look at me, you believe that? He said, no, I don't, but a lot of old ladies in Western Russia do. He said,
a lot of generals.
He said, you, it's irrational, of course it is, but he said, you, it's irrational to you because you live in a big country protected by two oceans. You were never invaded by Napoleon and Hitler. He said, everything we do is affected by these nightmares. Similarly, the Chinese would... with whom I worked and was very close and got them in the World Trade Organization, they did things I thought were nuts and self-defeating in fighting political dissent and stifling debate and, you know, having no dialogue with the Dalai Lama, which I thought was about not just morally wrong, but didn't make sense, you know, to crush the Tibetan culture and do all that. I didn't get it, you know, and... I talked to a bunch of them. They said, you know, we do a lot of things that look crazy to you because our number one nightmare is internal disintegration. And you never had internal disintegration in your country. So all I'm saying is the Iranians, if their image of their national greatness either does or does not require them psychologically and in terms of where they're going, to have nuclear weapons. If they ever use them, they'd be toast. Just like, you know, that's why nobody ever did it in the Cold War. But we don't want them to have it because it would, even if they never used them, it would affect the politics of the Middle East, number one. And number two, the more people that have these weapons, the more nuclear material you've got around, the more vulnerable it is to pilfering. It is a serious problem. The one thing we have not done a good job of since 9/11 is we haven't spent nearly enough money and done nearly enough work to contain the nuclear, chemical, and biological substances in the world. So that's where we are. But I don't have an easy answer. Yeah.